The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of a song that is titled A Thing That Is a Song. It's Adrift and at Peace. I always forget. It's like, it's not... Once it's gone out of my mind, I don't even think about it anymore. So, anyways, part two, Grey's Academy, the Grey's Anatomy podcast that is sweeping the internet, going viral with reels and funny clips of how incredible we are. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it's still hot outside. Thank you for coming. We're going to start this part with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland.
Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum. Okay, this one.
You got one. One for sure.
Yes. One, two, three, four.
Ooh, all right. Got my work cut out for me. Jake.
Henry, yes.
Henry. Eli?
No.
Okay. All right. Mr. Chervoskov.
Yes, Ron. Okay. Yes.
Sheila?
Yes.
Tina.
Trina, but no.
Trina, damn. How about... let's see. Hold on. I can do this. Did the old lady walk in the hallway?
No, but I thought she would be, honestly.
Jason?
No.
The guy who... No? Okay. No. The guy who takes the picture of the fish?
I think so. It just says fisherman, too.
Okay.
So, I don't know if it's him or someone else, but it's fisherman, too. So...
I think that's all four, right?
Yeah, that's all four. So let's go over. Scott Foley, obviously, Henry Burton, 104 episodes of Scandal.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry. Lenora May plays Sheila. She's in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder and one episode of Scandal. And then Kenneth Masserol plays Ron. He's in two episodes of Station 19, not as Ron. And then Chris A. Jeffrey plays Fisherman 2, and he was in an episode of Inventing Anna, and he is also a stunt person and has done like stunt, specifically water safety stunts. So I think that's why they had him, because they actually did go and film on location at Big Bear in California. So this was like not green screen. Like, they went to a beautiful, beautiful location and shot this. So they did have him on set as water safety. And then he's done water safety for a lot of other stuff as well. He was a boat driver in Inventing Anna. So probably because he can operate a boat on,
yeah,
like, safely. And he also did water stunt stuff for Pirates of the Caribbean, like the OG original. So good stuff.
Wow. I actually had a reel that came through this morning where it was, I think it was on the newest one, where the one girl is like, I'm an astrologist and a horologist. And they're like, it's okay. We don't judge how you make your money. And she's like, no, I'm a horologist. And they're like, yeah, we hear you. We're not judging. We welcome you. And then the one guy was like, my mom was a horologist too. And they were like, okay, all right. Everyone calm down. It was just a funny scene because they were meaning whore. Not
right,
you know,
right, I get it.
Time,
yeah.
Anyways, what was I gonna say? Was your plot point with this episode about the lake and the time of year? Is that what you were trying
yes.
to?
Yeah, okay. I was like, sense. They are dressed like it's cold, but for it to be Christmas decor time, I am led to believe it is post Thanksgiving. We are in December. I don't live in Seattle. I feel like being on a lake in Seattle in December would be unbearable. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well,
but let's I don't find that they're bundled enough for me.
This is the defining issue we need to discuss, because are you Christmas starts post Thanksgiving or are you Christmas starts post Halloween kind of people? I think that's what we need to define.
I am Christmas November 1st, but I don't think that is the norm. And I don't think a public place like a hospital is going to be putting up Christmas decorations. Also, I don't think that there's going to be that much of a difference in the weather in November versus December. It's going to be cold regardless.
I guess that's tough because I remember the year Marlo was born, we were walking around doing trick-or-treating in like sweats before she got induced. But for Marlo's second Halloween, the one that we came back to and Grievous had fallen through the egress window, it was a blizzard. So like, it's tough to say with, you know, the Midwest, the Pacific Northwest.
I mean, they're like pretty close to like just the very edge of the country, just very top, top little bit there. Also, well, typically depends. When you're on water, it's already going to be like windier and a little chillier.
It depends how much of a sneeze Alaska's willing to throw down to Seattle.
I just feel like they would have turned into icicles.
That's probably true. Also, did the guy say that that's the biggest fish of the season they've caught so far?
It said one of the biggest this year.
Okay.
Which 28-pound trout, I believe you, that feels like a big fish.
But in December, the biggest fish of the year gets caught in the last month of the year?
One of the biggest.
Okay, I don't know. Also, I didn't realize that you can... No, I was going to say a stupid thing. It looked more like a salmon than a trout, but that's okay.
Do they look that different?
What?
Do they look that different?
Oh, yeah. The faces. Faces are very different.
Okay, they don't show us the face of this fish.
You know what
it's
we see
not
the face
Nemo.
The we see the snout. The snout of the fish. You know what I really need in my life, though? I just need sushi. I need copious amounts of sushi in my life right now.
So true. Okay. So, do you want to start with Christina and Derek?
What do you want to start with? I'm okay with anything.
Let's just breeze through the Alex Callie storyline, because that feels like kind of throwaway to me. Like, Alex isn't working with Stark this episode because Stark's like, I hate that guy. Get him on my service. And so he works with Callie, and Callie's like, hey, you're actually really good at this. And she's like, let me train you. And then he's like, I'm going to go back to Stark. So Callie gets dissed again, which sucks. But the couple they have is like super annoying, but also really funny to me. And so she's like, this guy needs a hip replacement. She's like, let me do it today. And the wife's like, ask her why she has opening. Tell her our daughter's an orthodontist. Ask her for a second opinion.
Tell her we know medic. We've got people on the inside.
I love Callie goes, I can hear her. I'm standing right here.
Yeah.
And then she says,
I like how she didn't even bat an eye too. She wasn't like, you can tell her this. She's like, I'm
I am
you're also
right
not,
here.
You're not being discreet.
Yeah. You are very dumb. And Callie's so confident that they're gonna go get a second opinion and come crawling back. And Alex is like very pressed, and they do. She's right. And they do it. And, Alex does a good job, but then is like, I just want to do peds. So, which is interesting, because I do think Alex would be good in ortho.
I think Alex has shown enough, like, kind of wide ranging skill that he would have. Oh my gosh. Using your Gray's cup too.
Yeah, of course.
Look at me. Look at us twinsies. That he probably, in my opinion, he could succeed in peds because he clearly has a passion for it.
Yeah.
I think that he's smart enough to be able to handle ortho, and I think he probably could do general like Bailey. I haven't seen him be successful enough in cardio or neuro to think that he'd be successful there. But I think any of those three, he probably would have found success.
Yeah. And originally he said he was going to be plastics, which I could also see. But we haven't really seen him doing it, but I feel like I could see the personality fit like how kind of Mark is.
Yeah. Their banter is very funny this episode. They've got some good chemistry.
Well, because they're both mad at Arizona.
Yeah. Which
when they're like mocking back and forth and it just cuts to Mark being like, what is wrong with these people? Like these people need help.
She's out there fixing cleft lips and, oh, I'm going to unherniate your hernia until India calls. And then she'll be saying, I need to leave and break all my promises or whatever he said. Gosh, that was so fucking funny. Yeah. When I will say, so there's kind of like these little mini cut scenes back and forth where Callie and Alex are like, Alex is saying, no, you gotta, they're not gonna call. And she's like, they're gonna call. And they do. And he almost was a bad wingman at first when she's like, oh yeah, my 2 o'clock is all booked. And Alex is like, what? No, it's not. And she's like, oh yeah, I know, I got that thing. Remember? And he goes, oh yeah.
And then she's like, oh, I'll push it. And then he goes all, he's like, oh no, you can't. You've got that award ceremony.
Yeah.
Or you're getting that award. She's like, another award. Such a hard life.
It's hard. So my life is just controlled by these award ceremonies.
I love when they're like, we really appreciate it. She's like, oh. She cuts this the fakest smile. It's so funny.
Yeah, that was really funny. And it is kind of sad because when that scene comes where they're in the middle of the surgery and she's like, yeah, I need a guy version of me. Like you could be my protege. And he's like, okay, yeah, cool. Fuck Stark. That guy sucks.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to him. Yeah, he does suck. But Alex's reasoning is the other guy Stark hated more. So I guess I'm back in. Like this guy is not a good guy.
No, I think he's also the thing is really where Alex's passion is. And that's clearly with Peds.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You should work in something that you're passionate in. So full support. But I do feel for Callie because she was like excited again about work stuff. And she's like, oh, and we can commiserate together about how much Arizona sucks. And then she got like immediately lost that.
Yeah. She didn't seem too broken up about it, but she clearly was frustrated. She's like, she just was get disappointed. Out of here.
Yeah.
And then when she turns to that Santa and just goes, I'm still awesome. That so was true. Funny.
Yeah. So good. So
I'm happy for Alex. I still hate Stark.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't even in this episode. And we're like, we still hate you.
They kept mentioning him. They're like, this guy's turd bird.
Turd bird. Dr. Turd bird. Okay. Was there anything else on the Alex? Oh, let's talk about the end of that. Mm-hmm. When Callie's cooking in her kitchen, cooking up a little din din. Gets a little nickety knock on the door.
You know who I thought it was?
Who did you think it was?
Thought it was going to be Alex. I thought they were going to fuck.
Oh, you know what? That would be a Shonda twist.
I thought that they were going to have sex. I thought it was going to be Alex walking in the door and he was like, I passed on the surgery. Not only do I want to learn with you, but I want to burn with you.
Oh,
and
I'm
okay. All right. They're going to do it. And then when she opens that door and it is Arizona Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
Hoarse voice pleading to Callie. Callie doesn't say a word and shuts the door on her face.
Yeah, so in the last like 2 to 3 episodes, your prediction was that Arizona would be gone for 3 years and then would come back.
That was
incorrect.
But she did come back.
The also need to point this out, this storyline, someone I believe Zoe asked about this on our Discord because I posted what episode we were going to record and asked if anyone in the Discord had any questions they wanted me to ask. And
are there questions?
We'll get there. Zoe brought up the point that she wanted clarification, and this is true. I verified this storyline of Arizona leaving and being gone for like 2 episodes and then coming back. Was because Jessica Capshaw is pregnant or was pregnant. That was her maternity leave.
Oh,
she's returning, not pregnant. So yes, for most of season 7 up till this point, she's been pregnant. They've hidden it with, you know, how they do.
Yeah.
And,
I never would have known.
Yes. So that's why they brought this storyline. That's why she was gone for a couple of episodes and now she's back.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So does that mean Stark is going and she's back, because I just hate that guy.
I cannot confirm that that is what is or is not going to happen.
All right. Keeping it tight to the chest. Respect. Mm-hmm. I get it. I'm going to watch the other episode tonight, I think.
Oh, yeah?
No, I don't know. I'm going to have to wait. I want to. I want to watch it tonight.
Yeah. So, yeah, just tell me, like, when she opened the door and it was Arizona, what did your brain do?
Well, again, I was expecting it to be Alex. So I had to take a second and I went, like, what is actually happening? Like, what are they doing to us? And my quote here from my phone, all caps, what the fuck, Arizona? Question mark, exclamation point, question mark, exclamation point, question mark, explanation. It goes on like that for a while.
Right.
When she's like, I was doing all of these things and I missed my girlfriend. And then when they're like, they wanted her to, she wanted to get a replacement. And then she says, you look really pretty. And when she closes the door on her face, I'm at a loss. What is happening? Callie, you started the episode by saying you were sad. You could still be sad, but why? This girl flew across the world.
She also left her in the airport after yelling at her.
Yeah.
Like, I agree she made this quote unquote grand gesture, but I'm like, but that doesn't undo.
It doesn't undo,
like,
but I don't.
Being shitty.
I think it warrants not a door being slammed in the face, maybe. And it wasn't a slam. It was a gentle, like, slow motion close, like. I don't know. I don't even know where my brain is at with this right now, because I thought she was gone for a long time. I thought it was for sure. There's no way you turn down a
Carter Madison Grant.
Carter Madison. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know where this is going. I'm confused. I'm lost.
Yeah. So.
Okay. But I was shocked.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else to talk about before we get into the Meredith, Owen, Christina, Derek situation?
No, just funny. Funny for Callie and funny for Alex episode.
Yeah. Okay. Give me your initial reactions to the overall Derek and Christina fishing trip.
Love.
You love it?
Love it.
Did you find it easy to follow as far as, like, her quote unquote breakthrough moment?
She's healed. Yes.
Okay.
Clearly healed. It was entertaining, to say the least, because the way that they wrote her character in this episode was like, she said, I want to make a suggestion, like, right off the bat. She's telling Derek how to fish.
She cannot not go all in on something, because she's I did research after you called. I just feel like it's very in line with her character. And then later when he says, are you going to be like this all day? And she goes, I can't help it. She's so type A.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that. There was there was one scene where it just cut to them for like 13 seconds and it just showed that
sitting
they were still
in
on
silence.
The boat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this was unnecessary yet totally necessary at the same time.
Yeah.
I love this. This is great.
You wouldn't everything miss it about, if it wasn't there, but seeing it, you're like, this enhances it.
Yeah. Everything about their interaction made me happy, especially because at one point when Meredith calls and Derek is like, all right, thank you, Dr. Kepner, bye. And Christina's like, was that Meredith? And she's like, she totally got it right away.
Yeah.
When I don't remember what I was gonna say exactly for this particular moment. When she says, you and Christina, like, stop being fake friends with Christina. I'm like, no, I think that there's a genuine friendship there. And I appreciated that. Even if it is enhanced right now by
the trauma
and the common like desire that they both have felt. Cause really no one else on the show has expressed the desire to quit and followed through on it other than Derek and now Christina, you know, like, I think that there's a bond there that they've clearly gone through some shit and they know that.
Well, I think the bond is more the shooting.
No, I get that
personally.
I get that, but I'm also saying like there's a parallel bond. There's another secondary bond going on of like no one else has gotten this far gone into their own heads to where they've actually quit. Mm. So I don't. The point I'm trying to say is like, regardless of where the trauma is coming from, regardless where the bond is coming from, it wasn't a fake friendship. It was a real, genuine friendship.
I don't think it's a fake friendship. I don't, it's like, because of, I also like, I feel like I don't use the word friendship when I talk about Meredith and Christina either. I use relationship because it's like a bigger bond than a friendship in a way. And then I feel like this, I wouldn't say friendship either because there's a bond, there's a connection, they're relating to each other, but I don't know that I would be like, they're friends. It's weird.
It's a life bond. It's Jar Jar Binks and Qui-Gon Jinn.
All right. I hate him so much.
Anyways,
Binks. I hate Jar Jar. That's who I'm talking about. I hate Jar Jar Binks.
When she said, "I didn't want to be anything less than seaworthy," I knew I was great.
Oh my
I was
God. So
buckled
good.
Up for a great episode for them. But if you've not been fishing, everything that Derek says, like you don't go to fishing. I mean, I still talk when I'm fishing, but it's funny that scene where she's like, "We just need to move the boat," and he's like, "Well, no, we'll the fish will leave that spot."
Because you won't shut up.
Yes. That, I very much felt you and me energy in that moment.
Yeah. I also, one of the questions was, have you ever been fishing?
Yes.
You specifically. And did you like it?
Yes. I actually really enjoy fishing.
I also enjoy fishing.
I have gone, I grew up going fishing near my house and there was like a wetland near our house, not like a full lake, but there was like a walking distance pretty large pond, and I would just go fishing there quite a bit with my friends growing up. And then I've gone on a deep sea fishing excursion in the Gulf of Mexico.
I've also done deep sea fishing in somewhere in the Caribbean. It was an excursion on a cruise. It was very fun. I really enjoyed it.
I've also done
big old fish.
Yeah, I've done. I haven't caught any like really big fish, but I did also in Jamaica do some catamaran fishing out on a like a reef area, and then I also did deep Lake Michigan fishing. So
I've almost other than the deep sea fishing, I think I've almost exclusively fished off of a dock or just off the side of the water. I've not done a lot of boat fishing.
I've only done it those three times that I can remember. Just those three times. Yeah. I've been on a boat a couple other times, but, I do enjoy fishing. I don't go nearly as much as I like to, but also at Cindy's, at the farm, she's got a little lake there.
Oh, yeah,
they stock the lake. So we've fished there.
Maybe I'll post my picture of me holding my fish that I caught, when we do this episode, because
you should.
It's basically just, you know, the same as Christina catching a fish.
I also will share a story. I was in the Boy Scouts growing up. And they would have these fishing derbies every year. And one year I caught, I actually won the trophy for the trophy was the weirdest fish. Mm-hmm. And usually every year it goes to the one person who catches a catfish or like a bullhead.
Yeah.
And I caught a bike. I pulled a bike out of the lake.
Interesting.
Yeah. I hooked on a bike and I couldn't like it. My line was, it was a strong enough line that I was using that it didn't break. But it got the bike to the surface enough. So they used a bungee cord situation. We threw them out.
Oh my.
And we pulled the bike in and we had the bike on display.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm sure my father still has that trophy somewhere in the basement.
Okay.
His basement. But yes,
I don't know.
Fishing.
I think, didn't you get the text message that was like, I'm going to throw away all your trophies?
It was only if I didn't respond.
I responded
saying, oh, okay. Don't throw away my trophies. I would like to go through them one day.
And do what with them?
Look at them and be reminded what? How great. Well, then maybe probably throw them away.
Actually, I believe if you, there's like a trophy shop near you, you can take most trophies and plaques back, and they can like remove anything that's personalized and then reuse it or like recycle it.
That's so, a great idea.
Just something to think about. Okay.
And then what I'll do is I'll use those trophies. I'll put what I want on them, and then I'll put them in my future office. And I'll say, look at all my future trophies.
Office
this
I don't
one
have.
Says the greatest something, something, you know, I don't know.
You never do. Okay. So yeah, I don't.
I like the scene where Christina is like, I need you to quiz me on these spinners. And Derek's like, I'm not going to quiz you.
She's spinners, like, please.
Lures and shit. So, and then also when she does finally get the fish on the line, she's like, oh my God, I didn't read about this part. What do I do?
Know, she's so funny. So I do like the part where she is trying to get him to quiz her on the fishing lures. And she's like, why don't we move the boat? And he's like, you've got to be quiet. The only thing about fishing is it's unpredictable. Ponder it. And there's like a 5 second pause and she goes, okay, I pondered it. And then like, she cannot let go. And I do find Derek to be a little bit annoying in what, like in the way that he's saying that they're not going to move the boat, just cause I'm like, be nicer. But also who am I to talk? I'm never nice. But then I agree with what he's saying of like, no, you're just going to have to let it go. Like, he's not letting her be in control of the situation. Like, she fully, which really tracks for fishing. Honestly, you can do everything the way you're going to do it. And it's just, you might catch a fish. You might not catch a fish. It is what it is. So I really like him being like, no, you're not in control. And that's going to be okay. You're going to be okay with that. So I do think this is a great Derek episode. Honestly, very little issue with Derek in this episode. I also think what's important to note is everyone else's goal is to get Christina back to work. Derek's goal is to get Christina to be okay. And those are different things.
Yes.
And I think that's definitely worth a conversation, because you can't, like, they're not necessarily a one for one. And even Owen, who is probably like the lowest on the totem pole for this episode, like absolute, like my least favorite in this episode, he does make good points when he's talking to Meredith and is like, Christina isn't you, because I do think she is operating in like, well, if when I'm in this situation, this is what I need. Because yes, they do have this really good bond and good relationship, but I think she is having too much of an issue stepping back and seeing like the big picture situation. So
yeah,
I do love Derek in this episode.
Well, even I think that your exact point is illustrated in that final scene where they're laying in bed.
Yeah.
When she's like, do you think Christina's going to be all right? And he's like, yeah, I do. And then she says, do you think she's going to be doing surgery again? Or is she going to be a surgeon? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm just going to sleep. Like, you know, like, and when it comes to that moment where she's taking the picture and she's holding the fish and she just starts crying, mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be like reading at this moment. Like, what, which part of that caused her to have that emotion? My take, like my perception, is she found success doing something. It wasn't like when she did the party, she didn't even go downstairs. Right. Buying furniture wasn't a success. Like, it's not a success thing. She found that in this moment, the success of catching a fish filled that hole. And maybe reminded her how medicine does that for her, and completing a surgery does that for her. Maybe she, you know, was connecting the dots there. But what was your take or follow up? Did you happen to read anything in the blog?
I actually specifically went to the blog to be like, I want to know
what was their inspiration for the scene.
If you know, I want an expansive like conversation about this plot line, and they really didn't have one. They were like, cool, we got to shoot on location, and like the actors played amazingly off of each other, and it was like so great to have this like beautiful backdrop behind this really moving scene, which is true. But there was like, it was basically, so at this time there was a lot of pushback from the audience about being like, just move on, like get Christina over the storyline, we don't like it anymore. And so they kind of address that, and they're like,
do they talk about where the pushback is coming? Because social media is not a huge thing. Is it like
polls? I mean, 2010.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. Facebook.
And there were, even before Facebook, there were always like forums and not chat rooms, more like forums, like a board where people get, it's almost like kind of pre-Reddit type thing where people would get on post episode and kind of have a conversation on it and have a discourse going back and forth about it. But I think there was a lot of that. And so the writers did say, like, you know, people are acting like Grey's is a super light show, but if you look historically, it's not like, you know, George dies in this horrific way. All these people go through these terrible things, like Meredith drowns. Grey's has always been kind of dark. It's fine if we let these characters sit in their trauma and everyone's not just okay right away. Like, there was a shooting in the hospital. People died. Other people were injured. Christina had a gun pointed at her head, like, while she was doing surgery. So, like, they're like, we're not just gonna gloss over that. We're allowed to give these characters like depth and like let them sit in it. But beyond that, there wasn't a lot of insight into the specific like Christina breakthrough. They just kind of mentioned like, oh, like the dam is released and Christina like feels these things. But I need to say multiple things. First of all, I need to apologize because I did not give you credit on Discord several weeks ago because you were already kind of not having a good time with the Christina storyline, and you were like, I just want her to be okay and like be back to being Christina. And so in the Discord I was like, I am concerned because Carmen's really getting, you know, he doesn't like the storyline and I'm afraid he's not gonna be okay like going through, and I'm really afraid when we get to the fishing episode he's like not gonna be into it and not gonna like accept anything, like understand like what it is for her. And there was a very long conversation about the Christina storyline and why she is in this like terrible place emotionally post shooting, and what everyone kind of feels about the fishing episode. And I'm trying to scroll back, but this was a while ago. I'm trying to scroll back to it because someone does specifically basically make that same point of like finding success, seeing herself be successful in something other than surgery, and understanding that her worth isn't just being a good surgeon. So I wanted to say I was wrong about you not. Well, first, I didn't think you'd like the fishing storyline, and I also didn't think you would see any amount of connection. So my bad for being wrong. But I'm also happy to be wrong in that situation. Like, I love this episode. I think it's an incredible episode. I think they do such a good job with the storyline. But someone else, I don't know who it is because it was like a month ago, but I also, as soon as we had that conversation, I was like, I actually want to call Carmen right now and like talk through this, but I will wait until the appropriate time to talk about it on the podcast. Because you were just like, you were just very frustrated by the whole Christina storyline at that point. She was still at the hospital, but like not really doing anything. She hadn't quit yet. But so I am glad that you were on board for this.
Yeah, I also really enjoyed this episode. I think that this clearly shows how smart these writers are, that they were working Christina through a trauma through the majesty of fishing. Like, that's kind of just, there's a little bit of humor in that, I think. But I wasn't annoyed that Christina was still experiencing trauma. I think I was getting frustrated with the portrayals within the episodes, because I felt like she was doing things that were against her character. But I also, in my head, just as a person, I don't like the will they, won't they things.
Right.
So same thing with the love stories. I get annoyed with the will they, won't they, just like, because I'm also the kind of person, you know, like the whole saying, life is about the journey, not the destination. Mm-hmm. I don't like the journey. I like the destination. I don't like surprises. If you have something that you want to share, don't tell me you have a surprise for me and then say it's, you know, then it's, I think it's underwhelming when the surprise happens. So like, if you would have told me that Christina's healing journey took 20 episodes, I'd be like, okay, cool. I'm excited to see where that goes. But when I turn on the episode and every episode in my head is like, okay, is this the episode that Christina's going to get back into surgery? That's annoying to me. Not that it's happening. It's like, there's, I think it's the expectation, the expectation versus reality, I think is challenging for me as a person, but that's a me thing. I'm glad that they're going real time through this trauma. And to your point, they should have time to sit in it. But I was just as annoyed with Christina being in surgery as Derek and Meredith and the will they, won't they there. So it's not a Christina thing. I think it's the unknown kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think the writers have done a really good job at giving enough movement each episode, especially these last couple of episodes of including Derek in it.
Mm-hmm.
In her journey, I mean, to where it's been entertaining, but it can be entertaining and frustrating at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I feel like who was saying it? Someone basically was like, it's hard to watch someone. Okay. Marianne Mo was saying it's hard to watch someone that you love go through something. And so we love Christina. And so it's hard to watch her struggle through this, especially when it's like up until this point, she's so set in like her purpose in life and who she is and what she wants to be, so that it's not just like, oh, I went through this horrible thing. It's like, I went through this horrible thing and literally like everything I've ever known or thought I knew has been shaken because of it. So it's hard to watch someone who has been so consistent and strong flail in such a way. Alicia made a good point of like, it's similar in a way. When Meredith is drowning and Christina starts disassociating, she's like, it's a similar reaction, but ramped way up. Cause it's not like just one thing that she can disassociate with. It's now her entire life. So she's like, I'll just disassociate by being a different human being, which is like that's what fair. We saw in the bartending episode. It is a hard storyline to watch. I think obviously like knowing long-term, like how it's going to end and when it's going to progress and in what way, it's easier to watch. But I do see what you're saying about every episode being like, is this the resolution? Is this the resolution? Is this the resolution? I think it is done well, but I see your frustration in it.
Yeah. And that's all shows. That's not just this. It's all shows. But I mean, it's the Blacklist. Ugh. Is this the episode we find out who Raymond Reddington is? Oh, I don't know.
Plot twist. It's no episode.
Yeah. So, you know, it's that. It's the question mark for me.
Right.
It's still entertaining, but I'm also still frustrated.
They definitely do a good job with it. So I agree. It is entertaining. And I also see the writer's frustration with seeing so much pushback about basically being totally. Like, just get over it.
Yeah.
When they're trying to do justice to a storyline and justice to the concept of someone going through a trauma and PTSD and stuff like that. So it would be annoying on their end to just constantly see like reviews or blowback or pushback from fans of being like, oh my God, who cares? Like a lot of people. And it's nice to see, you know, or to be able to produce art that can resonate with people who've also had, you know, like life altering traumas like that. And that's what they're trying to do. And just because everyone doesn't get it, I would also be annoyed on their end, especially again, like when you're a writer, you have like a broad storyline of like, this is where the season's going to go. And we have to do it episode by episode. So it would be frustrating to have fans like not understand the concept of television and that there's like a through plot line. Obviously not every show is like that. You know, you have like your Seinfelds, sitcoms are different when they're not, there's not always like the through arc. Like even Friends to an extent doesn't really have like the, you have to watch every episode to understand like the long game or anything. Like it's pretty much like, this is what's happening today.
Yeah.
And so, but it's unfair for people to expect everything they watch on television to be like that. Like it's just not how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand the frustration of the writers and being in that room of like, yeah, everyone, you just need to get over it. But it wasn't, I don't think my frustration was ever that she's still in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was, yeah, like I said, it's coming from more of the, like, when.
Just impatient.
Like, impatience. Yeah. But I don't, to the writer, again, last thing I'll say on this, to the writer's credit, I don't think that they have done anything less than a really awesome job on writing this arc.
Yeah.
Because it has shown that there's been these mini, these micro level checkpoints that she's reaching. And how they slowly showed her working on medicine with Roy. And I don't know. They've just done a really good job at showing someone who's gone through a PTSD event. And also, like, don't forget, not only did she save Derek, but she did it because of Meredith. And she's working through that, blaming her. And there's this connection there. But also, remember when Jackson pulled the thing away from Derek and she had to believe that they just let Derek die too? So, like, there's that immediate snapback roller coaster of no, he's still alive. I just took the things off. And, like, I don't know. Yeah. There's just a lot of layers to it.
Someone did also say, just tell him that trauma is like ogre and ogres are like onions. So there's layers.
Yeah.
And someone said to explain it to you that way. It was basically a lot of different takes on, like, this fishing is her finding success away from surgery and, like, seeing herself have worth outside of surgery. And she is in such a, like, a more free, uncontrolled environment in this fishing, and the excitement of, like, when you are kind of disassociating and trying not to feel a lot of emotions, then when you feel one genuine emotion, it can kind of open the floodgates and let all of the other emotions that you've been repressing come out. And I think that is also part of what's happening, because she sees Derek be proud of her. She's like, I am proud of myself. And, like, she's like, this has been a good, I've done this. And then it's all just like, and I love the moment where the guy's like, why don't we wait? And he's like, take the picture.
Yeah. He's like, it got, it's okay. We don't sweet baby. We're good. We don't need to take a picture. And Derek's like, no, we're going to want to remember this.
Well, I love the choice to say, we're going to want to remember this, and not just, she's going to want to remember this, because he is also, like, so invested in this journey with her. He feels, it's interesting because she blames Meredith, but Derek feels it like he is at fault in a way, not at fault, but like that he is definitely involved in what got her here, because he was who she was saving. I also wanted to mention, well, first, hold on, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back to this.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
Okay. Thank you so much. So
I was actually going to be fine with, like, just skipping the, I was gonna like remove it. I was like, let's just fucking keep going, you know, glad you did that. Thank you.
So I wanted to bring up at the beginning, like, well, Meredith is giving Derek so much pushback and be like, Christine isn't going to want to do this. You don't even know. Like, you didn't talk to her. And he's like, well, I did talk to her. She's on board. And so then Christine,
you know, there's
there.
No bathrooms out there.
There's no bathrooms in nature. And so when they get to the house and Owen helps Derek, and then Christina and Meredith are just standing there, and they, like, both clearly want to say something, but no one knows what to say. I do feel like there is part of Christina that regrets telling Meredith that she blames her. Because that's one of those things where there are certain things you can say in a fight and you can take back. And there are certain things that you can't really take back. I mean, you can't take it back, but you can apologize. And the apology can feel like, okay, they did just say this because they're heated. It's not really something they feel. This is not that. Like, this is a very, very heavy thing that Christina has put out into the universe and onto Meredith.
And not apologized. And not that she has to, but,
and,
like,
again,
to
it's
your
almost
point.
Like, one of those things I'm like, yeah, if you apologized, would it make a difference? I don't think so. It's like, there are some things that, like, are really hard to come back from, and, like, yeah, you can apologize, but that might not necessarily be enough to, like, take care of the issue. And I'm not saying that Christina's wrong. again, I think it's Meredith more of being a trigger for everything that she experienced, not something that Meredith is actively doing or actively did with intention. It's obviously like a heinous situation and everyone just reacted the best they could. And so it's just one of those things. It's like, well, where do we go from here? And that might be part of why Christina isn't talking to Meredith, because it's like, okay, well, I put this out there and I said it. It's not that I hate her, but like, where do we go from here? That's kind of how I was feeling. And then in that moment when they're both in the house, they both want to say something. And then Christina's like, oh, well, I'm just going to go. And then Meredith starts to say, like, what are you doing? And then she just goes, there's no bathrooms in the wilderness. So look out for peeing.
Yeah. Well, you know, the nice thing about nature is just a bathroom. So
that's true.
You know,
less when you're on a boat with Derek Shepherd, though. So,
yeah, that's fair. So, yeah, great storyline. Really feel good with that. I'm excited to see what happens next. I'm hopeful that she gets back in surgery, because I do like Christina as a character. But they've done, I think, justice to a healing journey. And Derek has been just five stars. Would recommend. And the fact that she showed up back to Owen and he's like, oh, how'd it go? And she's like, I got 21 pounds of fucking trout for you, dude. Yeah. And I'm like, all I want to do right now is go to Costco and get a big trout fillet and just cook it. That's all I want. And just eat it. The whole thing. It's all I want.
And sushi. Yeah. She goes back to Owen. She hangs the picture of herself, like, with the fish on the fridge. It's just such a beautiful moment. She does such a good performance. Patrick Dempsey also does like an incredible performance. They play off of each other really well. It's not a dynamic we see often, but when we do, they really, really like build out that relationship, and it really makes so much sense to me. Another reason that I hate Owen in this episode is because there is no understanding of Meredith and Christina's relationship again. And he essentially tells Meredith he doesn't want her to be friends with. I don't want you anywhere near my wife. You can fuck off. She predates that PTSD bullshit marriage.
Yeah, it's this is one of the thoughts I had was they have that big fight. He says some stupid shit like, you're reckless with your life and I don't want my wife around you. And she's like, you shouldn't even have that wife. What are you doing? And then they had to go back to that patient together later. I'm like, man, you guys really are being professional. But with the little time that we have left, unless there's anything else you want to talk about with Christina and Derek, we probably should talk about Trina and Jason.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about the Meredith and Owen part, which definitely ties into it, because they're obviously, they also disagree on how Christina should be, quote unquote, handled, or whatever you want to say right now.
Yeah.
And okay, the main issue with their relationship, quote unquote, in this episode is that there are no boundaries. They are crossing from like spouse friends of spouses into the work dynamic and back and forth so much. And I think that's where a lot of the issues come from. Meredith does things that are not great. Owen does things that are way worse. He gives her shit about like not having the correct boundaries, but like, he's doing the exact same bullshit. He's like, leave it. Like, don't bring it into my OR. He's doing the same shit. Like, he's assuming anything she says in the OR is about the Christina situation, but it's not true. And like, I don't think there's an issue with her being like, what's the plan? We have to have a plan. That feels like a question that could be asked whether or not Christina is on a fishing trip.
Well, yeah. And then also, too, when she's like, this guy, it's their honeymoon. Like, we can't let this guy die. We can't let
him bleed out and die, which feels like just anything I would want my surgeon to say.
Right. And
regardless of what else is going on.
I do think that there's two specific things in this storyline that Meredith does that she would have done to any other surgeon.
Right.
Regardless of relationship. Number one, it's that. She would have said, they're on a honeymoon. You can't just let this be a fatal wound, like Hunt said. Yeah, this is a fatal injury. Yeah, there's a lot of blood. Yeah, we're physically both sucking it out and scooping it with our hands in a ladle shape. I get that, Owen. But we can't let him die. Yeah. So he comes up with a plan. Cool. Love it. But then the last time towards the end where she does that final stitch and Owen's like, no, no, no. Like, we're good. Like, things are fine. It's too risky. And she's like, don't worry. I already got it. And then he goes to kick her out of the OR. I think that she would have done that last stitch on whoever, regardless of the surgeon. Now,
I agree.
That part is a character flaw for Meredith Grey.
Also she's, agree.
She is reckless sometimes and she is bold. But we've seen that there's a lot of characters on the show that are both reckless and bold sometimes, and they do things that are crazy and daring in the OR. She was doing that. The difference is that Hunt was in charge of the situation. Like, I think we see some of those attendings go rogue and do things that are bold.
Yeah.
But they're the ones who, again, we go, the stupid quote-unquote hierarchy.
Yeah.
I do think that if Hunt is saying, no, I think we're good, like, it's too risky, the one stitch making a difference versus her fighting for Owen to even do more for the surgery, two totally different things. At that point, it's just pride, not for the guy's life. So I kind of see where the difference on that is, and that's what sets him off, because that's coming on the heels of him saying, do you want to do the stitch? And she's like, well, are you asking me? Or he's like, do you want it or not? Like, this
She's, he's like, oh, and she says, are you going to let me do the stitch? And he goes, are you judging? Are you like
questioning my judgment or saying thank you,
which is just being a dick. Like, regardless of who said that, that's some bullshit. That's Derek would say that for sure.
Yeah. Derek would say that. Yeah.
And then, when he kicks her out of the OR, I feel like that is in line with not only him, but just like the teaching hospital aspect and like the attending versus the resident. And like, he did say multiple times, don't do that. It's too risky. And like, they had to work so hard to save him that like, I think any resident and attending that would have played out that way. Like, if any resident disobeyed an attending in that scenario, I think it would have played out that way of being like, get out of my OR. I don't necessarily think that is like a carryover from the Christina thing. Obviously they can play it like it is. And that also tracks. I just think that's one scenario where I'm like, okay, Meredith, maybe calm down. And also, okay, Owen, maybe calm down. But it tracks with like the world building that has been previously established.
Yeah. There is a tension ever since the Meredith knowing about Teddy.
Yeah.
And how Derek handled the Teddy situation and Owen going to Derek and saying, no, you should get rid of her because she'll be fine. And I don't want to have to pick between two women. Ever since that, between them, things have been tense for their relationship.
Yeah.
So, but at one point he even does, like, he's like, look, you don't get to talk to me like that in my OR. If you keep your problems, like our problems outside, like then you can get out. But him getting defensive in that moment, I think he was being too defensive. Even if his feelings were valid and she maybe wasn't giving him respect because of that, she would have found a reason to not respect the OR for any person. So that just happened to be the trigger for them. But when she does it's tough because I feel for him when they came in, they're doing the messages and they're like, well, you are going to have to speak at this thing. And also your kidney patient's fine. And he goes, well, what about my wife? Did my wife leave a message?
Oh, yeah. Like,
there's nothing from her. You can see on his face that he feels bad and he is sad about the situation. I think that Owen doesn't have the emotional intelligence to handle the situation, but he shouldn't be blamed for that.
Well,
he should
he
be
doesn't
blamed
have the
for
emotional...
taking advantage of the situation, but not for,
I don't think he has the emotional intelligence to like know Christina, or like what really gets to me at the end of the day is like the lack of understanding or effort to understand her relationship with Meredith. And like
accept it.
And that is one of like the biggest differences between him and Derek is that Derek accepts it and he's like, do I love it? No, but it's fine. And you know what? They need it and they need each other. And like, that does at the end of the day benefit me because it makes my wife a happier and more fulfilled person. And like, that's what I want for my spouse because I'm normal and like, whatever.
Yeah.
But, it's just, Owen's fucking sucks a lot. And,
shut the fuck up, Owen Hunt.
It's true. And so, I'm so sorry. I think there's a huge spider in my lamp.
Uh-oh.
No, okay, it was just a really terrifying light reflection. Oh. It really looked like a spider.
Fact that you're like, I think there's a gigantic spider in my lamp. Let's pull it towards me and look at it. That was crazy. Well, yeah,
I needed to know if it was, in fact, a spider or if it was just a terrifying shadow. I would have thrown the lamp and then
figured it out later.
Well, that's... I don't want to buy a new lamp.
That's right. I love lamp. Okay,
so is there any... I also feel like when they take Trina back to see Jason and they're like, it's going to be a long recovery... all this stuff, like, don't try and think too far ahead, just kind of live in the moment and be supportive and be here for him and all that stuff. And they say, like, I know right now it's hard to see past all the machines and all the damage, but he is still in there. I definitely think the way they linger on Meredith is like, she's like, that's how I feel about Christina, is like, all I can see is like, I know she's still in there, but like, I can't get there. All I can see is this like damage and I can't help anything with it.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that like really resonated with her and that's really hard. But again, I think like I have to give Derek credit. He's the only person that's like, let's just do what we can do and not do too much.
Yeah, well, I do think so, that, and that's the scene that I'm talking about, that like right before it is when they yell. And
yeah,
so he kicks Meredith out. She comes mm-hmm. back in to the room and they're cleaning up just copious amounts of blood on the floor.
Literally so much blood.
And Hunt is like, hey, folks, I know there's a lot of blood here, but give us the room. We need the room. And
which I will say was professional on both of their ends. Like, it was professional for Meredith to go and be like, can I talk to you?
Yeah.
And it was professional for Owen to be like, let us do this privately. So I'll give them credit on that end.
Yeah, it does escalate quickly after that.
Yep.
Because she's like, he calls her reckless with her patience and her life.
Yeah. Which
okay.
Might not be wrong.
Not. Yeah. I don't think that that's not a 100% wrong thing to say. It's not nice, but it is maybe not wrong. But when she turns around and she's like, because he's like, I'm just struggling with my wife who's like, like falling apart. And when she says she's falling apart because you let her fall apart, that's where I think maybe it's not 100% Owen's fault. I'm not saying that he's handled things right. I'm not saying that Owen is the best person. But I don't think placing all the blame on Owen is fair either.
Right.
And then they have this big back and forth.
Mm-hmm. I see where Meredith is coming from as Christina's person to be like, you let it be fine for her to fall apart, because, you know, Meredith is so much more proactive when it comes to anything with Christina.
Yeah.
And Owen is more passive and he's just like, well, like, let's just see what happens tomorrow and then we'll deal with it. And Meredith's like, let's not do that. But, you know, I understand where Owen's coming from, where he's like afraid, because the whole thing starts of... Derek says Owen's worried about Christina being home alone. And I'm like, that's concerning. Like, do you think she's going to hurt herself, or do you just think she's going to be bored and like buy more furniture? Like, I want a little clarification on that, because if you think that your spouse is like borderline self-harm or even suicidal, like, just sending her on a fishing trip ain't going to be enough, bro. You got to get some more help in there. Especially from someone who has been through therapy for PTSD specifically, I find a little bit of a flaw with that. But I think, like, on a whole, I understand that they're both trying to deal with this so differently, and their relationships with Christina are so different that this obviously is going to bring that to a head. And that's why there's going to be such like an overwhelming conflict about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to watch. It's, I'm not really on either of their side, because again, at the same day, at the end of the day, they want the same thing. They both want Christina to be okay. And I do feel like Owen and Meredith both want her back in surgery. Owen is just kind of starting to let go of the reins and be like, at this point, I just need her to be okay. Maybe that doesn't mean coming back. And Meredith is still like, no, no, that means coming back. Fuck off.
Yeah. Only a Sith deals in absolutes, you know? And she's seeing it as there is no success unless she's in surgery.
Right.
And I think that's a tough, because you bring up a really good point. Derek is the only one who's really looking at these milestones going like, guys, it's like, it's okay. Like,
yeah.
Let's just take it one freaking day at a time.
Yeah.
So, and also, like, success is not... Would Meredith have ever seen, like if she was saying on the dock, and she's like, oh, whoop-de-doo, you caught a fish, like, whatever. And Derek is like, no, let's get a fucking picture, bro.
Yes.
I don't know. They need to be able to take those victories.
So. Yes. She needs someone to celebrate with her in that way, and that's a good point. I don't know that Meredith would have celebrated her or, like, let her feel pride about that. She's, like, already shaming her for just going in nature, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything we missed? I feel like this was a lot of, like, almost tangential conversations about these, but this was a good episode.
Yeah. I don't know. Let me just go back in and say if there's any other things, like one-liners I missed. Okay, I pondered it. So funny. No, I think what she needs isn't what you need. Important.
Yeah, yeah.
Take it now. We're going to want to remember this. He's still there. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, when I really like the line when Eli asked Bailey out and she says, fine, because you gave me day three.
And I'm handsome.
Oh, yeah. I think that was it. I mean, I love this episode, so we'll go ahead and rate it and do some predictions.
I'm going to say this episode is a 5.
Me too. I was so nervous that I was going to give it a 5 and you were not. I'm glad that I was wrong about your take on this episode.
No, I really liked it. I think one of the things I really also liked about this episode is that the hospital scenes were so different from the fishing scenes.
Yeah.
Because they weren't sitting there. I don't think, and again, like, to be clear, yes, I'm annoyed that the storyline is still going on with Christina not being in surgery. But I would have been more annoyed if Derek and Christina were talking the whole time. I think that there was a lot of physical, nonverbal things and also not non-medical related conversations that they had to have that proved some of their relationship points. And that's just very creative writing. The shots, the cinematography, I thought was really cool. Just again, the juxtaposition between the hospital and the fishing scene.
I'm also so glad that they did that on location, because I think you can really tell. Because I think if they were doing a green screen, it would be way more tight shots. And they do kind of emphasize, like, the whole, like, look, it's just the two of them sitting on a lake, this beautiful mountainscape in the background.
Scenery.
Like,
yeah.
So I love the choice to actually, like, go out and go on location as opposed to just being like, oh, fix it in post.
Yeah.
Because it gives them more options on, like, from a cinematography point, it gives them more options of what to play with.
Yeah. And then the bombshell of Arizona's back, the comedic dialogue between Callie and Alex, between Callie and Mark and Lexi kiss in the like,
oh, yeah, we didn't
so
really
much
do the implications of that.
You know, like, so also shout out to Jackson. Jackson was her bailout. She said one drink. She was there for 30 seconds. He's like, oh, no, it's an emergency. Like, you know, so good on him. But yeah, like, really just I didn't find anything that I was really feeling like really truly bummed about this episode. Everything felt like just good. Everything just felt good.
And everything felt in line with the plot lines and the characters up to this point. So that was good, I thought. Okay, so let's start with predictions. Do Lexi and Mark.
They're going to get married.
Okay.
Next episode.
I know you were like, they're not going to get back together, but I want them to get back together. So here we are.
You know, yeah, I'm back on it. I'm back on it. They're going to get back together. I feel good. Okay. I feel good about it.
Callie in Arizona.
I'm really confused. I didn't even think Arizona was coming back. So I need one more episode, but my tentative, based off of just what I see right now, I don't think they'll get back together, but I also feel like they could do some lazy writing and just make it be okay and then get back together. But it's going to be a while. If they go that route, it's going to be a couple episodes. Because I don't know. Like, Callie didn't really feel like she was over it. I think that she's annoyed and she's sad. But they both
she's
were
hurt.
She's hurt. But yeah. I don't think that... there's so much hurt that it's insurmountable for their relationship. So I do think they're going to get back together. I just don't know when and what and how.
Okay. And then Christina in general.
She's not back yet. She's going to get back into surgery. She's going to be a surgeon again.
Okay.
April and Jackson are going to bone. And Eli and Bailey might bone. And then Bailey is going to get back with Warren.
Okay. When are all those people going to bone?
You know, I don't know. This is going to happen. It's just organic. Like the next, I feel like the next four episodes are going to be kind of wild.
Okay. I don't know anything else. Meredith and Owen, I guess. Oh, and also Teddy and Henry Jake.
Yeah, Teddy, Henry Jake, Sean are. I hate to say this, but I think she's going to go through with this marriage thing, and that's just stupid. That's stupid. She's going to go through with it, and that's stupid. Owen and Meredith, I don't think they're ever going to see eye to eye.
Yeah.
I just don't think it'll ever happen. I think they're always going to be at odds.
Yeah.
But they'll make it work. They'll coexist.
Yeah. He sucks. I think that might be it. Okay, well, anything else you need to add or want to just throw out a random prediction for anybody?
No, but I'll tell you, I was nervous that Owen was going to, like, hit Meredith when she said that. When, like, and that was what gets him fired. It's like, you are reckless. Well, you made your own wife's life fall apart. Punch.
Oh, fire. My.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fired and arrested, probably.
Yeah, I just get so nervous because I wonder when shows, like, I'm nervous that Grey's is going to be like, let's just deal with some male on female domestic violence. Let's tackle that one, you know? And yeah. I get nervous.
Yeah. Okay. Well, on that super light note, we'll just wrap it up here. Thank you guys so much for listening. Such a good episode. This is one of our favorite episodes. I'm so glad that we saw. That we are on the same page for it. It makes my heart happy. You know what? We've had like a string of really good like high fours and fives, and I'm like, I want to go back and like average out the ratings for every season and be like, which season is best on our ratings and which season do we feel like is the best? So maybe we would need
to rewatch, I think, season one with hindsight, because I didn't really get a. I don't know. I feel like I was like, I can't give anything a five because that means it's the best episode of all time. And I'm like, I think I just needed to like let that go. And I did eventually let that go.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Well, maybe that's something to look forward to on Patreon. You guys, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you continue to share with your friends and fam. Share us on the social meds, please. We are happy to be a part of your lives and your commutes and your daily routines, weekly routines. You can follow Grey's Academy Pod at Gmail. Nope, you can follow Grey's Academy Pod on Instagram. You can email greysacademypod@gmail.com. You can find Grey's Academy Podcast on Patreon. And we love to hear from you. We're also on TikTok, Grey's Academy Pod. So just, you know, give us likes, give us follows, give us 5-star reviews. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, just remember,
no spoilies. We appreciate you so much. And we will see you all in the next one.